for the hump that didn't happen.
The dry hump.
It's someday. It's Wednesday in September. We're a Game of Thrones podcast named Game of Bones. Pleasure to have you all with us today.
Thank you for joining us on this Wednesday episode where we talk about Theon Greyjoy in his never-ending quest for, or his in his ongoing quest for the approval of his father.
We talked about lots of things north of the wall on Monday. Selena's not here with us. The boys are here. And Eric, I feel like when there's three of us on a Theon chapter, that's one less person to be like, Eric, I don't agree. So this is a good thing for you today. You know what I mean?
You know, my greatest fear is actually missing one of these Theon chapters and just having the hate, you know, grow like a cloud among the room. But yeah, no, it's good. I'm glad to be here with you guys. And look, I think we can all agree from reading this chapter this week that Theon gets kind of a rough deal, and it's really not at any point anything he could have done a little differently, I don't think. But maybe I'll argue that point a little later on.
I'm interested, though, has your perspective of him changed at all now? Having read two chapters, you get to see how he is really underneath the character that we've seen for, you know, three seasons on the television show, but you get a lot more insight into how his mind works, Eric.
Well, I gotta say, like, for now, Micah, it just kind of, I want to say, solidifies the reason, a lot of things about why I like him. Only because he, you know, yes, what he does in this chapter is fairly grotesque, but once he finds out about it, he is just as disgusted. You know, and I think that's what matters, is once the big reveal happens, once he discovers that this woman he's been talking to, courting, fondling this whole chapter has actually been his sister, he is just as upset with himself and ashamed and angry with her. He thinks she's sick, you know, as I think would be normal. And so I don't think any less of him, I guess, knowing that he was legitimately attracted to this woman who, it turns out, was his sister for, you know, most of this chapter.
Yeah, there's a lot of back and forth between the two of them, and you could argue that she's just as culpable in this as he is.
Well, what do you think? What did you guys think, thinking of, I mean, just kind of, because we're in his head, so I guess you had already known this, and the show did kind of spoil it for me, because, you know, I didn't realize at first that this woman and, you know, with him was going to be, it's going to turn into the scene that was obviously a little bit earlier. I think it was when he first arrives at Pike.
What I took away from it, though, is that she was really just trying to get a feel for him, no pun intended, and get an idea of what her brother had become. You know, what kind of man is he? And, you know, there's that great line, actually, that ends the chapter where, you know, she said that she liked him better when he was 9 years old. Mm-hmm. And I think it just goes to show you that maybe a lot of what she heard about him over the years resonated very strongly with the way that he acted, with the things that he said, with the things that he did. And I really, deep down inside, I think that she wanted to find that her brother maybe hadn't changed all that much from the kid that he was, which, you know, I don't know that you can necessarily expect that, because he's gone away to live with another family for the better part of his life, and he's grown into who he is. And I thought there was just a lot of good dialogue between the two of them, and a lot of cunning on the part of Asha to really get down to who Theon is as an individual.
Yeah,
I mean, Asha was fabulous. I think she's been one of my favorite characters I've read in this book so far. She was tough. She was leagues and leagues more intelligent than Theon, which just made me laugh this entire chapter. Because even if I hadn't been spoiled by the show, knowing that this was someone that it wasn't regarding to the girl that Theon is sexually assaulting, I'm going to have to say that it was fairly obvious that this was going to happen from the beginning of the chapter, just the way she was handling the situation and all of her questions that were so leading. I mean, at one point on their ride toward Pike, he was literally asked specifically about Robb Stark, and he just started mouthing off all of these things that, you know, a certain amount of time ago was, they were trade secrets.
Yeah.
Now it's just normal conversational piece, because now he's in Pike and he's ready to do whatever it takes to become this prince that he is. And he's kind of sad to learn that this place isn't really like that. It's not like Winterfell. And even then, he didn't really have much insight on what was actually happening in Winterfell, because this guy kind of lives in his own dreamed up idiotic head, just ordering people around and bragging about horses that he's riding that he didn't pay for. I don't know. It's just hilarious to me that this charmless, egotistical, self-centered, insecure person literally believes he can just show up at this place 10 years later and start ordering people around, you know, riding up to people. I'm Prince Theon. Do you want to join my boat that was named the Sea Bitch 5 minutes ago by this girl that I just met? And of course, the person doesn't want to because he has his own ship like 8 times the size. I don't know. I sound bitter, but Selena's not here. And so I'm coming from the angle of, well, what the fuck were you thinking, Theon?
Yeah, no. And Eric asked for your thoughts, so it's only fair that you're
Hey, I'm not. Well, I'm liking this. This is good. This is good. This is fuel.
She was very leading.
Nothing
though.
Is good about this. Nothing is good.
No. What is good is what, I mean, Asha, come on. I'm even going to admit this. Theon got owned, and it was hardcore by Asha here. Her plan was perfectly executed. Absolutely perfectly executed. And however, it does make me feel sympathy for him. He gave away all of his secrets, which I guess I should think, oh yeah, he's stupid for doing that. But she knew kind of just how to get to him. And, you know, I want to focus more on what attracted to him to her, because how could she have known? I mean, what he really wanted was, a more dominant woman. You know, who thinks like that? You know, she smelled like home. You know, it's like, oh, salt and iron, and he's
because
all into that.
Because she's your sister. That's why she smelled like home.
I know, but it was so unconscious. It was subconscious, his, you know, desire for her. And so I just thought that it was, yes, it's kind of an interesting topic to be discussing, especially at length. But really what he just wants is to be able to give his destiny, I think. But you know, what I wanted to talk about, though, that has to do with Asha is that, you know, part of the reason that she's getting this information from him, and she does it so deftly and promisingly, is that she sees him as a rival. And he is very much a rival, being the male heir to the throne. She wants to know exactly how to undo him. Mm-hmm. And really, I think by the end of this chapter is really Theon's complete undoing in front of everybody. At Pike, you know, that little stunt that Asha pulls with the sword, with the axe, I mean, you know, at dinner, and cuts his meal in half and his plate and everything right in front of him. He is emasculated and he is completely ridiculed in front of everybody. And he kind of just doesn't know how to deal with it correctly.
Well, I don't think it was in Asha's plan to take down Theon because she sees him as a rival. I believe she sees him as, at first, you know, I think she was rather congenial, but, you know, Theon gives a little bit of time to himself to start talking, and then immediately people start disliking him because he's arrogant, he's egotistical, he's just kind of barking things around where he has no place to be barking. And I think in her mind, she just wanted to sit him down a few notches. Just like, I'm going to cut your goblet, everything that you have in front of you, I'm going to cleave it in two with this axe. This dude over here who was throwing axes just threw to me. And everyone's going to laugh, including our father, the king now of the Iron Islands and of Pike. And I don't know. It's just, I feel like she's one of the more grounded people we've met in the story so far. And this is less of, I'm trying to take over you and this is an evil thing. This to me seems more brother and sister and more harmless than most of the problems we've seen between people that are kinned in this book so far.
Yeah.
She's not trying to kill him.
No, definitely not. I there's that moment too when they're riding back up to Pike, and she references, well, you know, you have all these family members that could potentially take the throne. What do you think of them? And he basically goes on to bash his uncles. And
he does, all of them.
That is not, you know, despite what Asha may think of them, I mean, at this point, we have no clue who she is, even though we may guess based upon some of the things that are going on and the knowledge that she has. But, you know, there's that moment also in this conversation when he's talking about one of his uncles, Euron, and, you know, he thinks that, well, to be honest, he's half a stranger here. You know, the Ironborn would never seat a stranger in the Seastone chair. And then for a moment, he thinks about himself and he says, well, hold on a second. I'm kind of a stranger here too. So am I really any better off than my uncles are, at least this particular uncle?
Yeah, I mean, there is that moment. I didn't know if it was conscious or if it was unconscious, where I think it was George saying that he should have realized that he was also a stranger. but it's just kind of...
I was going to say, who the hell is George? Like, who's George? Where's George? Was George riding with them somewhere?
Yes, he was.
George the horse?
I wasn't sure that... George is the horse. I wasn't sure that that he actually thought that to himself, because I think it was like one of the ways that the book was written. But I mean, the fact that he's mouthing off about his uncles to this, you know, stranger's like a shipwife or something, whatever she pretends to be, you know, and she is being given all this information straight into his, she found his vulnerability and worked it really hard, which is kind of, you just have to give hats off to Asha there. But, Theon, I guess he is stupid for, believing that he would be as welcome as somebody who has been here. And I think he's stupid for just kind of brushing off his uncles, you know, as quickly as he does. But in doing so, Asha, you know, later revealed to be his sister, is also gaining that much more insight into how he thinks and how wrong he is and all this other stuff. So mm-hmm. she is gaining the upper hand. And I think it's more than just a sibling rivalry. I think it is tactical, you know, what she's doing, because she does need to know in a short amount of time what kind of a man he is, but also what he thinks tactically about
right.
how he would control a siege. And, you know, by the end of the chapter, the orders are given and she's got the better job, you know, than him. And I think at one point, Balon Greyjoy refers to them as his sons, which is crazy, you know, but because she's clearly still a chick. But I mean, that's how enamored Balon is with his daughter, with Asha.
She's clearly proven herself. At the beginning of the chapter, we see her walking Theon from the docks, and he even himself is just like, hey, you're popular, pretty popular. And at this point, he thinks that she's married to the top shipbuilder that is that reports to Balon Greyjoy. Mm-hmm. And so she just plays it and is able to keep this entire ruse going throughout the entire bit until they actually land at the castle. But this entire thing made me laugh almost in a way, because if I were Theon, I would be thinking about how much I've just leveled down when we were hearing about the feast and how different the foods were. I know that's an extremely shallow thing to say, and this is his birthright, and the list goes on. But he pretty much said everything sucked except the onion pie or onion soup he ate at the end. I forget. Yeah. So it was like softcore food porn, George. I see what you did here.
Well, you mentioned the other chapters, though, but I thought it was very similar to the Bran chapter that we read recently, and also Renly as well, because you're sitting around, you're seeing all of the banners, all the families that are now, you know, strategically aligned with the Greyjoys,
right.
And it's another battle-type preparation chapter. But, you know, I think that Theon really slipped up in a number of different ways during his conversation on that lovely horse ride up the mountain and through the forests to the castle, but just the lack of respect that he had for his uncles. And the biggest mistake, there were two mistakes I thought that he really made. One, when, you know, they were talking about his uncle Dampair, and he said his god and not our god.
Yes.
Right.
She caught that.
And the other one, he really wasn't concerned about going to see his sick mother. You know, for the first time, we really hear about his mother in the series, and he has no desire whatsoever to go and see her. And I think that bothered Asha a lot.
Asha is checking out the situation. She's really scooping into his brain because, like the other chapters, this is the strategy. This is the calm before the storm, before they move forward and start killing people, essentially. Mm-hmm. So she wants to know more about her brother, who technically, you know, is in line of succession of their kingdom. And I think she's disappointed. I think that deep down she knows that Theon is a good person and is so earnest to prove himself that he's just turned himself into kind of this just badly talking, arrogant prick, where he's just assuming all of these things are going to come to him, and yet he doesn't hold the proper respect for the family that he is demanding to be a leader of, essentially. So this annoys her and pisses her off, and this is what kind of pushes the entire mood and the way that the family handles their dealings with Theon, giving him this much smaller task. But I mean, I think that clearly it could have been a lot worse, and that the Greyjoys are, now that we've finally read about them in the book and not just seeing them in the show, just getting the taste in my mouth, taking it out, holding it, examining it, and putting it back in, the Greyjoys are cooler than I thought, you know, from the show. They're better in the book, which obviously that's the case, but it's pretty cool to actually get over that hump on hump day and know these things, you know?
So you think the Greyjoys are cooler, but not Theon?
Well, I mean, no, he was worse in the book than he was in the show. I mean, he's just, my cock is hard as a mast and all these terrible, terrible things.
He's trying to impress her. That's what the Ironborn say to each other, dude.
No, it's not. Clearly not.
That's what Theon tries to say to every girl that he meets.
I think it's less about him being a poisonous lech and it's more about him not having as much game as he thinks that he does, which isn't a bad thing. You know, it's just he needs practice. Maybe you shouldn't practice on your sister. That's just a tip that I have plenty more.
The chapter really wraps up with Theon being given his task, which he is not too happy with. I know, Eric, you kind of alluded to this earlier, but basically, you know, he's being sent to do this menial task. And not only that, but he has somebody who's going to be watching over him. So he can't even really command the people that he's going to be doing this with, right? So he's sent with Clefjaw, which is an awesome name, by the way. I think that he should get an own just for having a badass name like that.
It's a great name.
But Asha's being sent to take Deepwood Mott. And, you know, Victarion, who's, you really get the feeling is this badass warrior, you know, is being sent out to take Moat Cailin. So all the battle plans are being laid out now here by Balon Greyjoy. And it, to me, it really harkens back to the end of the last chapter when, you know, Old Bear was talking about the fact that Winterfell is susceptible. And he, Balon even says, well, you know, we can hold out, you know, we can wait. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, and we can seal off Robb from the south with the Lannisters. So, you know, you're starting to see all of this take shape, even though it hasn't necessarily been implemented yet. We haven't seen everybody sort of go off, with the exception of Stannis ruining Renly's party. But,
right,
you know, all the pieces of the puzzle now are starting to come together.
It is interesting, and I think it's a pretty solid strategy because, you know, essentially what they're saying is Rob's going to try to go south. He's going to get choked because there's small crossings and a lot of people. And when he tries to come back north, here we going to be in our pirate ship. So, you know,
that's right.
Good plan. It's a good plan.
And
Balon seems pretty confident that all of the decent fighters have all left their castles. But I don't think that he's wrong because it is Rob's war. You know, and all the bannermen have been called. So I don't know. He sees an opportunity and he's going to take it. It's quite frightening actually that somebody like him exists. Just, you know, he's essentially done nothing. He rebelled a long time ago. So people are kind of weary about him, but since then he hasn't done anything. And now he's just kind of been biding his time. And now he's got, you know, the warriors and kind of the opportunity to do it.
Yeah, it's so interesting. This world is so vast, but when we finally get to meet other families, we learn that, you know, this place is populated. There are several different kinds of people and several different families. They have deep allegiances with the people that they are aligned with. And even though it's not the same conventional swear your oath, I'll follow you into the dark kind of bit, at least there's some kind of organization of all these people and they want to take over some shit.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Shall we own?
Let's own it. And I'm making sure that I read this time so I don't piss off Eric.
There you go.
Theon is talking and he says, "It's been a few years since I sailed the ship, and I've never captained one, if truth be told. Still, I'm a Greyjoy and an Iron Man. The sea is in my blood." And Asha says, "And your blood will be in the sea if you sail the way you talk."
That's so mean.
I got one. As soon as Asha develops her alias here as being the wife of Segrin, he says, "You're wasted on Segrin," and then she says, "Segrin told me this sweet ship is wasted on you."
Oh no, the sea bitch.
poor Theon.
It's hard for me to choose a singular own in this chapter because we got to see a lot of new things and ride to a few different places, but I think hands down that Asha will get my own for loosening and untying his pants with one hand without looking. That was pretty skillful. So
yep.
Good on Asha for being able to do stuff like that. And also good on Theon for not freaking out too much that it happened to him.
Also, yes. I know Selena's not on, but she did.
Are you going to give her own?
Yeah, it was. She submitted an own for me to read, actually. This one goes to Theon because she couldn't be on this chapter. Theon's line this up? That says, "Bugger the drowned god. If he troubles us, I'll drown him again." Thought that was pretty cool, and apparently Selena agreed, so that's her own for this episode.
Well, also Theon's horse was cool.
What?
Smiler?
The Smiler.
Smiler.
Yeah. You don't like the Smiler?
Yeah, the Smiler's pretty cool.
Absolutely. And I mean, I still think maybe somebody will mention it in the owns for from our listeners, but the end of the chapter I thought was pretty own-worthy. I mentioned it a bit earlier, but just how Asha, you know, if you had any doubt that she actually cared about her brother, I mean, she basically saves him from taking a tumble several hundred feet down to the water below.
Yeah, okay, that was pretty nice.
I think that they have a great relationship, and, you know, he's been gone for 10 years and he's kind of a sissy. So she's going to give him shit until he becomes the person that she thinks he can be. So all in all, I think that's what I can take away from this chapter. Siblings, man, we get into it sometimes.
And we have some owns here from our listeners. The first one from Karen Smith says, Theon, she screwed me up there by putting the chapter first.
Those two eyes.
Yeah, Theon too. She says, obviously Asha owned Theon, but my own goes to Otter Gimpney for the best name ever.
Yeah, that is a great name. Very solid name. I love Otter Gimpney. It sounds like something I'd read, and I keep going back to Redwall or Lord of the Rings. It's a great name, Karen.
Of course, we also heard from our friend Pluisa, who sent in, the Starks own the Greyjoys. They turned the little 10-year-old Iron Islands Theon into a Greenlands man, now utterly useless on Pike.
Aww.
What do you say to that, Eric?
What do you say, Eric?
Well, I said I added the word utterly into that statement, and that means that I agree with her completely.
Oh, wow. I was going to say, you can't alter her own.
Yeah, it's true.
Inserted adverbs aside, we do have an email from a Miss Beth Meyer who writes in and says, how many owns does Asha get in this chapter? All. She gets all the owns. She answered her own question, and she goes on to say, except maybe for one. Maybe one for Theon's kick-butt horse. While it is nearly impossible to list all of the ways she owns this chapter, may I just note Theon's reaction to the way she walks. She owns him without even actively trying to do so. Thanks, Beth. Thanks, Beth.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, though. It's kind of like missing home and not realizing that you're missing home.
That's very sad.
Yep.
I think you could even argue that the dogs own Theon, particularly in this chapter.
Oh, so there you have it, guys. We, we go chapter by chapter in these books. We are now 24 chapters inside of A Clash of Kings, and I think we like this. We like going forward one chapter at a time and talking about things that are interesting.
I do. I'm really looking forward to Friday's episode with Tyrion, because Tyrion, it's always a good chapter. You know you're going to have a few laughs.
Of course, any kind of interesting information you can send via our way, and owns, you can do that several ways, obviously through email. Email address is contact@gameofowns.com. If you have something shorter you want to say, and you can fit it into a tweet on twitter.com, we are at Game of Owns. Mm-hmm. And on Facebook, you can come Facebook us at facebook.com/Game of Owns, right on our wall, piss off our wall,
fondle your off sister our wall.
At no, the wall. Do just it. Do it.
Yes. Everything and, you'd like to do it on our wall.
Sam
yes.
won't like that. At least don't do it in the between the hours of, what is it? 3 and 5. I don't remember.
I forget what it was.
Anyway, you can also leave us some comments on winteriscoming.net. There is a post for every episode that we do, and we do like going through and reading your comments, whether they be about random characters in the series or actually pertaining to the episode that...
I like the character comments.
You do?
I do.
Which one stands out the most?
Which one stands out the most? I'm going to have to go. Someone said Patch Face once. That stood out. And then I'm hearing like fantastical characters from other series getting thrown in there. So I guess we should just give an award each week to the person with the strangest comment, with the strangest character, with the strangest reference.
I like it.
Yeah. Hmm. Speaking of awards, the Wicknet Awards are happening. We talked about it on Monday, but there is voting to be done on the best comedic scene, which we did discuss on Monday as well. If you missed that, please go back and listen. Voting ends Friday. Please
vote responsibly.
Get your voice out. Yeah, vote responsibly. Do it. It's fun.
And of course, another place you can give us feedback is on iTunes. And you all know the deal there by now. The threat from Monday still holds strong. Nothing less than 5 stars is acceptable in the month of September.
Play it smart.
It's crazy that we're already here in September. Before we know it, season 4 will be upon us.
It's true.
It's really crazy. I mean, I don't, not to go off in a tangent here on something completely unrelated, but it's mind-blowing that we're already in the month of September.
Yeah, I don't understand how the time is passing by.
And we're only 6 months away from the air date of season 4 of Game of Thrones, so how cool is that?
So let's hold on to the times that we have together, people listening. 3 episodes a week, that's thrice weekly for your ear holes from Game of... Oh, I'm Zach.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Micah. We'll see you Friday for some beard trimming. Bye.
Bye.
What the f*** am I talking about?
Right now, our fun plan is to say...
I'm Goldar from Power Rangers.
Rangers!
Sorry.
Magic wand, make my monster grow.
Rita! Hey!
What do you guys think?
All right, what were we just saying?
Eric was talking about the season 4.
Oh, yeah.